The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Just before we get to our first item, a flashback to the past. I remember I was elected to the Dáil in 1981, and that was the time of the H Block crisis. We had three elections, and of course, Maggie Thatcher and Ronnie Reagan were in their pomp of power. And of course, it was the time of H Block and hunger strikes and all of that. And I recall well in 1984, around, I think it was September time, the bombing of the Grand Hotel in Brighton. And Norman Tebbit, who was one of the loyalists for Thatcher and a cabinet minister, emerged in his pyjamas, having been nearly killed. Well, who would have thought that over 40 years later, he lived to be the age of 94. He passed away and is perhaps one of the last surviving. Think of Geoffrey Howe and so many others, different chancellors and so on. That was, seems like such a long time ago. Who would have thought he would have lived that long? But he was famous for On Your Bike, because there was real austerity imposed by the Thatcher regime, and he was kind of working class made good, and he was the hard man, the enforcer for Thatcher. Okay, now, cabinet meeting on a Tuesday, and we'll be speaking to Sean Defoe shortly, and there's always a tendency before the summer holidays to try and get as many things finished up. Of course, the big item before the Dáil goes into recess in the end of July will be the revised National Development Plan to 2040, $165 billion. It's going to get extra money for water and so on. And we're going to be talking to Sean Defoe about a number of items. But the first item that is causing our attention, catching our attention, is James Brown, the housing minister, will bring forward a measure to cabinet in an effort to alleviate the housing crisis. People say, well, what happened? You promised 41,000 houses to be built last year during the election, and the outturn was 30,300. So the minister says that he's looked into this, and the problem has been the shortfall has not arisen in three-bedroom semi-detached houses, but actually in a collapse in apartment buildings. So what he's proposing is to make more flexible regulations in terms of the minimum size and the mix and so on. And we're delighted to welcome in studio Orla Hegarty, architect and assistant professor at UCD School of Architecture and Planning and Environmental Policy, to give her view on these proposed changes. Orla, perhaps first of all you could go through some of the changes, what's involved for one bedroom, studio apartments, and for the mix of apartment blocks.
Good morning, Ivan. Well, we don't have full details yet. As you said, this is going to Cabinet this morning, so we just have some media reports on what's likely to be included. What's been signalled is certainly that at the larger apartment level, there's going to be a substantial decrease in the amount of floor area, and that's going to filter down through the various sizes. So from a three-bedroom apartment, it looks like 14 square metres has been taken off, and just so people can visualise that, that's about the size of a double bedroom coming out of a three-bedroom apartment. So obviously all of the other rooms will be squeezed up in order to still fit the number of rooms with a much smaller space. Down to a studio, which would be dropped down to 32 square metres, it is it's suggested. So 32 square metres is smaller than most hotel bedrooms that people would know. You know, a double hotel bedroom and bathroom, that kind of size, which would now become somebody's permanent home. Which also signalled that there'll be some drop in a requirement for maybe community and amenity spaces, so that we don't again know what that might be. In some places it might be where there's an allowance for other activities, because if they're not built with the apartments, we won't get them. But it could also be that we're losing out on childcare provision, on laundry spaces and things like that, that really will impact on people's well-being and enjoyment of their home and community.
Okay, so the history of this is, because, you know, people think the housing crisis is new. I remember in 2016, when Alan Kelly wasn't in the Custom House anymore and Simon Coveney was appointed, and there was the first real impetus to try and deal with the housing crisis called Rebuilding Ireland. And then we had Owen Murphy, who made changes in this area, and subsequently Dara O'Brien changed them back again. Just give us an overview of the policy considerations as we went backwards and forwards.
Well, it's interesting, what's proposed today was done before and failed. So it's very hard to see the justification for doing it again. I pulled out yesterday my submission back in 2018 when we had the last round of reducing sizes. And all of the things that were in that came to being in terms of it delayed development. People who had permissions went back for more or first. More units and smaller spaces. So it was very disruptive to the market. It created two different classes of development, rental apartments and apartments for sale. Rental being much more lucrative for developers. So that's what we've seen. They only build rental apartments now. They don't build apartments for sale in the cities. So very disruptive, inflationary. And all of the promises about it being more affordable or reducing costs came to nothing. In fact, back at that stage in 2018, the department were saying, if we make these changes, we'll be delivering apartments for sale for under 300,000 in Dublin. And now we have the department saying, in their own figures, the department are claiming it costs over nearly 600,000. So what we're seeing, I suppose, is the same playbook, disruption, delay, uncertainty, more risk into the sector. But ultimately, housing is not a short-term thing. You know, viability for today or for July 2025 is still somebody's home in 100 years' time, still compromised, still bad infrastructure investment, because it'll be there for the long term. And this kind of penny pinching and cutting corners has a real impact on people's lives.
OK, I'm interested in this topic because when I left full time radio in July and TV in July 2020, I sort of focused on conferences and seminars and events. And a lot of them have been in the property sector. So I do panel discussions. I do one to one fireside chats. And since, say, the last 2 years, I have a pain in my ear listening to people who are in the apartment development business. And they said to me as follows, and I've just put this to you and you can respond to it. They said, effectively, what was called build-to-rent, a BTR, was scrapped. And they said, Ivan, I can bring it to Cork Street and every one of them are full. And the idea is, this is not a permanent home. This is, say, workers who come in here, maybe people in their early 20s, their first job, and they have to have city centre accommodation. And therefore, it's not a solution to the housing problem. But they exaggerate things and say, oh, the dual aspect requirement, the size of balconies bigger than apartments in Paris. And that basically they're saying, you know, all the reversal of these decisions stopped a tier of apartments being built. And the second thing they say is that what's called PRS, the private rented sector, has really collapsed in terms of, you know, there's 24 billion required for housing. They've just said, look, there's been no PRS transaction in terms of a new start of an apartment block in the last 2 years, and there's no deal done. And unless you change the spec, and there's obviously a planning problem in terms of delays and so on. So I can see that the minister has been lobbied in this direction.
Also, there's a few things there just to unpick it a little bit. Yeah. I suppose, firstly, the private rental sector as an asset class, as an investment model, has grown exponentially internationally over the last 10 or 15 years. It's where people see as a safe home for their money after the financial crash. So what we're experiencing in Ireland is not unique to Ireland. It's happening all over Europe. And European residential property and high rents is seen as very lucrative. This is happening in other places. And the same thing is playing out in other places. High rents and low standards. The pressure in both places, higher and higher rents, so that there's creaming off a level at the top end of the market who, as you say, maybe workers who are here for a short amount of time, effectively who are looking for a long stay hotel, who are looking for somewhere comfortable to sleep, they eat out, they socialise, they travel a lot, they work long hours. That is not housing. That is a long stay hotel. We have a dire need for proper housing to build communities.
Do we not need both?
We do need both. But the problem is that asset class has been allowed to outcompete everything. And this was one of the things I warned in 2018. If you make this class of smaller units, so higher rental return per square metre, the smaller the unit, the more money you make on them. If you don't have a proper mix in developments, if you allow these lower standards, if you take out the balconies, if you reduce the amenity space, they set the land value. and they outcompete everything else. And nothing else then. You won't get apartments built for sale. You won't get decent sized family housing. You won't get the amenities you want. So effectively, they drove land values up and they outcompeted everything else because they are a model of a hotel. And the rental income effectively on a hotel or a student housing is about double what it is on an apartment. You know, on a standard for sale, which we were building in Dublin, a family apartment. So once you do that, you drive the land value up and you're not going to see apartments for sale. So the market has been very, very much distorted by all of this. We also know that they've driven rents up. Rents have just been increasing exponentially. A huge part of our housing crisis is actually an affordability crisis. A lot of people are in homes, but they can't be sure they can stay in them. They can't afford them. They're getting evicted because they can't pay their rents. And a lot of the crisis has been driven by a lack of affordability.
Okay. So I understand your point about the one-bedroom apartments, but he's made changes for the mix of three-bedroom apartments. And the other thing I hear is that, you know, your Glenveagh, your Cairn, your Castletourne, and all... even O'Flynn's and so on. The viability of apartments is a real problem insofar as they had to introduce a Croí-Cónaithe scheme which had subsidies of 180,000 per apartment. And people are saying that for the bigger apartments, simply the specification. So if I want to buy a car, I can buy a Mini, I can buy a Skoda, I can buy a Rolls Royce. But what the developers are saying to me, Ivan, you can only buy a BMW because the spec is simply too high. And therefore, if you're dealing with the issue of viability, we're not going to go ahead, 25,000 not being built, or the issue of affordability, you've got to relax some of these things. So leaving aside the minimum size for the studio apartments, which is a specific issue, do you not think some relaxation in terms of sort of the best being the enemy of the good?
Viability is just the wrong word to be using here. We need to have a target of affordability. Viability changes every day of the week. It's a movable feast. So you could argue today that if we take 5 square metres off an apartment, on somebody's spreadsheet somewhere in an accountancy model, suddenly everything stacks up. And on the 8th of July, off we go. This is viable. On the 9th of July, energy prices change, steel prices change, labour changes. You get a better deal from somebody who needs the work. You can't, you know, interest rates change, tariffs come in. You can't chase viability. The construction process is a long process. The really key thing here is to look at all of the costs, all of them under a hard microscope and start to say, where is the money going? Because there's a huge amount of money caught up in the kind of middlemen model that the government have chased on this. The department's own figures show that more than half the bill cost of what they're saying apartment costs to build in Dublin is in the soft cost. It's not in the bricks and mortar. So you can keep squeezing the bricks and mortar forever. And, you know, unless you start to look at the other costs, according to their figures, there's 100,000 tied up in finance costs. We could certainly deal with that. Developer margin and sales and marketing. They are all costs that are highly negotiable if we had a competitive market and where people would see real savings without any impact on quality. You know, I've been hearing the argument about deregulation for a very long time, you know, that energy standards have pushed up costs. But when you ask people to break it out, you don't see it. We need fire safety standards. We need accessibility.
Well, the fire safety hasn't been changed. But like if you take, you go on the Lewis and go out to Cherrywood and you see what Avara are building there and you see other schemes with Hines and so on. The fact of the matter is, even in 23, we were spending, because of the delay, about 2 billion in PRS. It's gone down to 166 million. I mean, like, could I put it to you that, you know, that the market is speaking, and if the investors aren't investing and if the investors are saying they need change, like who else is going to build the houses? Only these developers.
They're just a middleman in the chain. The construction workers didn't go away. The material suppliers didn't go away and the land didn't go away. It's only a case, you know, we're not looking to fly to the moon.
But the finance is critical. I mean, but the state is maxing out at 7 billion.
The problem is when people have talked about the cost of the apartment building sector, they talk about having all of the capital for all of the housing that needs to be built. If you speak to any traditional housing developer, you don't need all of the money to build all of the houses. You need the money to get started. If you design schemes in a way
if you're building 400 three-bedroom houses, you can do it in phases of 50 or whatever. But with an apartment, it's a particular problem because it's a block. You can't sell your first one until you've built your last one. And the economics of apartments are more difficult. And the only buyers of these at the moment are the approved housing bodies.
But that's the point that I made when they deregulated the first time. We had apartment standards in Dublin where you had one lift and stairs serving maybe three or four apartments on each floor. So it was like a slice of a terrace going down the street. You could build that block maybe of five floors with three on each floor, 15 apartments. You could be sequencing your construction, which made sense. So you were building out the frame of the next one while you were finishing out this one. Those 15 apartments could be occupied and your crew moved into the next one and they worked their way down the street. They were the standards we had in Dublin. They could be phased. They were much more human to live in. They had better standards of dual aspect and everything else. It was lobbied to do away with that for long central corridors on the American model that couldn't be phased. And yes, fire regulations were also reduced at that time in the effort of what was called viability. It was lobbied to reduce the number of lifts and stairs and to have these long central corridors. And again, I said at the time, you're not going to be able to phase these buildings. They're going to be much harder, much more expensive to finance. And anything you save on taking out a couple of lifts, you'll pay 10 times over in finance costs. And that's exactly what they did.
And all the techs are anti-developer here. The government would have you driven demented. What is old is new again. Bedsits, anyone? Proof that removing them from market was a terrible idea. The developers will make more profit than they do already. It's a stupid idea. We learned nothing from the first-time buyers grant. Ivan, your FG colleague Owen Murphy reduced apartment standards in 2017 and prices have only increased since then. All over Europe, they have large apartments suitable for families to live in. This will only make developers richer. Another case of the tail wagging the dog. I bet the housing minister never lived in a shoebox. Just about to get even smaller. These people are bereft of it. But my question is this. So the programme for government says we need to build 50,000 houses a year and that will cost 24 billion a year. Deloitte have estimated that between now and 2030, the cost is 122 billion. The state, I can tell you, you talk to Deeper, are going to stop at about 7, 8 billion because they're going to finance the water and the electricity and so on. If you demonise the developers, who's going to build these?
No, I'm not demonising developers. I'm making the point that it's not...
No, I'm not saying you, I'm saying the texters.
It's not like building a motorway or a hospital where you have to find all of the money in capital spending. Housing is a series of very small units. Once you have built a house and you occupy it, somebody's paying rent or somebody is paying a mortgage. It's a performing asset. International investors are chasing these performing assets because they are making money on them. If we can recycle our own money or our own money that's sitting in people's deposit accounts in Ireland, which is Irish people's money,
only into with the state guarantee. You take the French scheme, the Livre A, it has a state guarantee. So the state is now going to take the development risk.
Well, we can manage the risk. That's the whole point. We can manage the risk because these things happen in small phases. And the real key to affordability here is to build capacity in the construction sector. We have never restored the construction sector since the crash. There has been a policy of incentivising the property development sector in the hope that they'll restore the construction sector.
Well, I'm speaking to people laying off people at the moment. Look at Twinlight, look at all of these doing interviews saying they've just let off people.
Yeah,
they're going to the UK.
We have the labour.
There's a dysfunction in the market.
We have the labour. It's the middle piece of how we're going about procurement that is wrong. And that's where things are failing.
All right. My thanks indeed to Orla Hegarty, architect and a professor at UCD for coming.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.